5:08 this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Elise Plank, sitting in for Eric Erickson, filling in for Atlanta's Evening News. Thank you for joining me today. For those of you who don't know me, I am on Sunday mornings talking about business, real estate, the economy on the Elise Plank Show, 11 to 1, except during football season here on News Talk WSB. We are talking today about what's going on or what isn't going on in Washington, D.C. Sequestration, it is 3 days away, well now about 2.5 days away, coming on Friday, terrifying everybody, and already the finger pointing has begun. D.C. today, we had all kinds of senators and congressmen, congresspeople, back and forth, pointing fingers and trying to make it all seem like it's everybody else's fault, where the American public thinks that actually it's just everybody in Washington's fault. So we're going to talk about sequestration and run through some of the things that are going on and how the effects are going to be felt. And I think for anybody who is now looking at a very busy Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, where I happen to spend a lot of time, as does Clark Howard, you are going to be in serious, serious trouble. We're also taking your thoughts and calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to have that conversation with you about sequestration. So, what is everybody saying about it? Well, we've got some of the folks in Washington, D.C. Boehner has been particularly vocal about it today. He says, it's time we shift the balance of power from the tax collector to the taxpayer. The speaker says he supports efforts to rewrite the tax code by Michigan Representative Dave Camp, chairman of the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee. He also had, I think, a more pointed comment. Alan?
You know, Republicans have voted twice to replace the sequester. We should not have to move a third bill before the Senate gets off their ass and begins to do something.
All we're asking is that they close loopholes for the well-off and the well-connected, for hedge fund managers, or oil companies, or corporate jet owners who are all doing very well and don't need these tax loopholes, so we can avoid laying off workers or kicking kids off Head Start or reducing financial aid for college students. I don't think that's too much to ask. I do not think that is partisan. The majority of the American people agree with me. The majority of Newport News agrees with me. We need to get this done.
Getting it done. How come nobody's getting it done? Well, Chris Van Hollen, he is a Democrat from Maryland, told CNN today that rearranging cuts is like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Then we had James Clyburn from South Carolina. This whole issue of giving the administration or cabinet members the ability to make these cuts is a false choice for us to make. This is not for the executive branch. This is for the legislative branch. Well, somebody should step up. Somebody should make some changes, because if you're not going to be making changes, if you're not going to be deciding what cuts are going to be made, boy, there is a sledgehammer. A total sledgehammer that is coming down on all of us on Friday, March 1st. And some of the things that are going to be hit are the things that affect all of us. It's everyday stuff, like if you're flying in and out of Hartsfield-Jackson, or, hey, you're going to Las Vegas where 40 million passengers go through that terminal. Have you done that recently? I did that earlier, well, the end of last year. I was there for a conference, and let's just say that if you're not super premium, executive, platinum, gold, diamond level, whatever, you're in bad shape. All right, let's check on what's going on with I-85. Captain Herb.
512 at News Talk WSB, at least I-85 northbound. Still a little unusual slow spot you'll encounter right around Claremont Road, but it's improving quickly from that earlier crash that was blocking a couple of right lanes between Claremont Road and Challenge Road. Downtown's began to fill up quickly. Kim McAdam.
Yeah, it's because of a crash. It looks like there's injuries with this now. It's 7585 southbound, right at the ramp, or on the ramp to I-20 there with two lanes. One left lane was blocked, and we saw it. It's jammed back to 17th Street, Captain.
And we've got new troubled I-85 northbound, north of 317, south of 985, two right lanes spotted by a traffic trooper. Adam in North Gwinnett. Elise?
Thanks, Captain Herb. We'll check back with you in a few minutes. It is 12 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 here at News Talk WSB, talking about sequestration. If we don't get a deal by Friday, $85 billion with a B, and spending reductions will be phased in through the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. National parks. You could expect gates to be closed. The National Park Service is going to lose $110 million from its annual budget. Shorter hours, fewer employees, and there's something about the bears out west, at the parks out west, I guess bear removal efforts would be hampered. So I guess if you go, you might get eaten. National parks. So that's the national parks. We've already talked a little bit about airport security. I can't say enough bad things about the airport as it is right now, all of them. Wherever you fly in and out, there are always delays. This is just going to make it worse. Education. The Department of Education budget also trimmed. About 70,000 kids could be forced out of Head Start, according to CNN, which promotes school readiness from birth to age 5. We'll also have just less money for schools and districts nationwide. Public health, we're going to protect Medicare and Medicaid, but we could see preventive care, like flu vaccinations, closed off to hundreds of thousands of Americans. That's not so great. Food and workplace safety. Wow, you think the pink slime thing was bad? Just wait until the Occupational Safety and Health Administration cuts back about 1,200 inspectors, diminishing oversight. Crazy. What about crime and justice? Federal prosecutors are going to have to close some cases. We're going to see the Department of Homeland Security losing up to 5,000 agents at the border, and the Pentagon would furlough thousands of defense workers. The FBI would lose about 2,285 employees. Federal worker furloughs could start in April. That's terrifying. Unemployment benefits. Well, the long-term unemployed also stand to lose. Under the proposed spending cuts, benefits would decrease 10% on average, about $400 a month. Okay, let's just say that people are barely making it on that as it is. They actually aren't, which is one of the things that we've seen in the foreclosure crisis. This could affect 3.8 million Americans. I mean, this is just the beginning, folks. If people in Washington just don't step up, it's going to be tough. Let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say about it. Jared joins us on the line. Jared, what do you think?
Well, I believe that the Republicans have already tried. They've passed two laws that got shut down in the Senate. But my main thing with the problem is that people don't want to give up their free stuff and entitlements. Like, how about the health care, or excuse me, the flu shots you're talking about, or the free lunch and all that for kids? I say let the sequestration happen. Let the lines get long in the airport. Let people pay for their flu shots and all that. And then you can take a look at, should we be given, what's more important? Should we be given the Muslim Brotherhood $1.5 billion? Or should we get the flu shots? Or what's more important? Should we be given ex-convicts that get out of prison Social Security disability because they can't, quote-unquote, cope with society? Or should we be taking care of education?
Those are real choices that people have to make. I just would hate to think that we've become a country where kids who are starving all day because they literally don't have enough to eat, because their parents haven't had jobs in 2 years, that we can't find it deep down within our hearts to give them a helping hand. That would make me very sad. Ronald from Duluth, what do you think?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you speaking to me?
I am. What do you think about this?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
And I know that, you know, we're past this, but now I hear a lot of cries of, you know, we've got to stop pointing blame and all. And there is blame to be pointed. And I know there's bigger issues, but, you know, I never will forget talking to a good friend of mine who's a very right-wing Tea Party person. And I told him the day all this happened, I said, you just remember, the Tea Party pushed this. This is what they wanted, and you've gotten what you wanted. And he said, I know it, and I'm proud of it. And this is absolutely a right-wing Tea Party thing. They've done it. They got it. They got what they wanted. And now all of a sudden they're saying, well, we want to change the deal. We got what we wanted. Now we want to change it to where it doesn't cut where we don't want it to cut. We want the president to make additional cuts where we're okay with it. And it's just wrong. I will say that although I support the president, I also support a lot of the issues that the last gentleman caller just called in with. I don't support him across the line, but I'm sorry, I'm losing track. But there is blame, and this is a Tea Party initiative. This is them all the way, and they got exactly what they wanted.
Thank you, Ronald. It is tough. There's a lot of blame to go around. I guess it all comes down to sort of where we are at the beginning. The idea that you can cut your way to some sort of balance, which I don't actually think the numbers hold that out, and people who don't want to ask anybody whether you're rich or poor or somewhere in the middle to pay any more. 404-872-0750. It's 518. I'm Elise Kling sitting in for Eric Erickson on Atlanta's Evening News. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB. It's 25 minutes past the hour on the Atlanta's Evening News. I'm Elise Kling sitting in for Eric Erickson. So glad you could join us. You should follow me online. We are tweeting, live tweeting during the show today at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. 404-872-0750. We are talking about sequestration and what is going to happen on Friday, if anything. And there definitely are some different kinds of conversations going on here. Jim joins us on the line from Atlanta. Jim, what are you saying?
Well, I'd like to caveat my comments by noting that I am a federal employee working for the Department of Defense, which means we're talking furloughs. I just got my furlough notice today. 22 weeks in a row, where we're only going to pay 4 days a week instead of five. The 20% cut in pay, I don't know anybody who'd enjoy that.
Doesn't sound too great.
No, it doesn't. That having been said, I'm calling this hysteric frustration because, what's going on is these agencies, to include my own, are holding the American people hostage with these cuts. There are better ways to do these cuts than furloughing people, than stopping immunizations for children. There are better ways.
Give me one. If there are better ways, give me one.
I'll give you one in my own agency. We're building tanks right now,
Okay.
With overseas contingency operation dollars. That's a $1.8 billion program. That would cut twice what they've asked the Department of Defense to cut. But instead of doing that, we're going to furlough workers so that there's a clamor to force Congress's hand in making changes. And therein lies the problem. We've allowed government to get so large and in control and as a massive part of our society that they have the ability to do this, that all these agencies have the power to do this and hold all these things over our heads because we've allowed them to control them in the first place.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Jim,
you make a great point. So let me just ask you a question about the tanks. So somebody builds these tanks, right?
Correct.
So those people, if you get rid of the program, those people will lose their jobs, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about cuts, somebody's going to lose when there are cuts. I mean, that's the bottom line.
There are.
But let's also remember that we're spending more money this year than we did last year, despite the cuts. So we're growing. We're being asked not to grow quite so quickly.
Yes.
I mean, that's the bottom line. And these programs, too, like building tanks, those things are taken out over 10, 15, 20-year contracts. So cutting that program, would ultimately save money. But it's not like everybody's going to be jobless tomorrow. That's not how it works.
Well, it's good to hear that there are some other places that could be cut in defense, because if you listen to some people, they would say to you, you can't cut a dime, not even a dime, let alone the dollars. You can't cut a dime in defense, simply because if you do, what's going to happen is a rain of terror will fall down on our heads. And there is such heightened conversation going on about this. Everybody feels that their little silo is too precious to cut. But I agree with you. There has to be cuts. We have to spend less. We also have to raise revenue. And anybody says we're going to cut our way to equality, to parity, doesn't know basic math. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling, filling in for Eric Erickson on Atlanta's Evening News. We'll be right back in a moment on News Talk WSB. It's 5:38 on the Eric Erickson Show. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Eric tonight in Atlanta's Evening News. Thanks for joining me here. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Talking about sequestration, it's supposed to hit on Friday. And the worst part, if you travel, it's going to be an awful nightmare. So, what are you thinking about sequestration? Is it going to be as bad as they say? Eric joins us on the line from Cummings. So, Eric, what do you think?
Well, I think you got it all wrong. I mean, these are cuts to increases of spending. So they've got the same money they spent last year and a little bit more. And what you're seeing as far as these furloughs being announced is they're scare tactics being driven out by the White House. This isn't, we do a lot of business with the government, and we've talked to our procurement agents, and they basically said nothing's going to change in their capital acquisition plans or anything else going forward.
The thing is, though, something has to change, Eric, right? So you can call me an armchair mathematician or, you know, my Sunday show. I talk a lot about numbers and the economy. And the truth is, even if nothing changes now, something has to change. We either have to spend less or we have to bring in more revenue, because that's just how it works, right? If you don't balance your budget, you're going to have to do something. So maybe $85 billion, which, by the way, is what the Fed spends every single month buying mortgage-backed securities.
And it was
maybe
one-tenth of the last failed stimulus.
Yeah, okay. So maybe this isn't very much. And maybe this is not going to cause havoc every time I go to the airport, which, by the way, is like every other week now. I'm traveling all over the place. So maybe my life personally won't be any worse. Just, you know, maybe I have to switch from American Airlines to make that better. But
PSA pre-check. That's what you
got to
do.
I do pre-check. It's excellent, actually, most when it works in places that you are. But anyway, back to this. So the thing is, how are you going to make it work if you don't spend less? And Clark Howard likes to say, save more, right? But here, instead of saving more, what we really need to do is we need to really bring in more revenue. And if one side is saying, we're never bringing in another dime, and the other side is saying, we're really not going to make those cuts, we're not going to get anywhere. And that's really a problem.
But wait a second. But again, you got the wrong side of the equation here. And then I am a mathematician, actually. So
awesome.
The issue is, we don't necessarily need more revenue. At the current revenue levels, they're going to spend exactly what they spent last year, plus a little bit more. And the reason for the plus, I don't even understand. Why can't they freeze budgets at the same level that they were spending this year? Because certainly we've drawn down, from a military perspective, we've drawn down use of forces. So there's really no reason to increase spending at this
there
point.
There is. You've got more. That's what I'm, I mean, respect to your mathematician and truly, all I'm doing is working with like an HP 12C calculator. But even I understand that there are a lot more people in this country than there were. There are a lot more seniors. There are a lot more seniors who get sick and are older. There are other kinds of things that we provide as a country with social services that just cost more money. It just does.
You also have, and I hate to put it this way, but you also have a group at the other end of the equation that also passes on. There isn't this enormous.
Yes, people die. That's true.
Yeah,
and we should be, but they're not dying like as many as getting into like their 65-year-old plus years.
Yeah, but what you're talking about and the supposed cuts that are being talked about, again, it's just to not spend additional funds. Right?
So well,
you run your business.
I know, right. So my business, I have to run my business in a way that's really responsible. And I try to always bring in more revenue than I'm spending. And truly, that is the best way to go. When you're a government, there are other things that you have to take on. And when you have things that are very expensive and you don't bring in enough revenue because you're in a great recession, you run up the deficit. And now you've got to be serious about getting that back in line. We could all talk about the 1890s and what happened there. It just goes on and on. But somebody's got to step up and you've got to make some cuts. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We are talking about sequestration and the cuts that are going to happen. John joins us on the line from Jonesboro. John, what do you think?
Elise, I've got to set you straight.
Go ahead.
The reason that the sequestration is happening, they wanted to name it something, so the president called it a sequestration, and everybody took that. The reason it's happening is because the president wanted it to happen. Why did he want it to happen? Well, if you remember a few months ago, they were trying to pass a budget, as they have not done during Obama's term, and they wanted to come up with a better balanced budget, so they were going to increase revenue, and they were going to cut spending, and Congress, Republicans in particular, came to the rationalization that, yes, we would increase some revenue, we would increase some taxes, as long as we get some spending cuts. Well, the Democrats, and that's exactly what you're proposing right now, I might add. That's what you're saying is what we need. So the Republicans were in favor of that, but the Democrats said, no, we're not going to cut any spending. So what they did is they made this stopgap measure that is in place, and the president signed it, and that's why we're having sequestration. Now, the bigger problem...
I didn't say that I didn't know why we weren't having it. I do know why we're having it. But
the problem is,
do you want to just let this happen and the budget cut fall, you know, the big axe just comes out and slices everything off? Do you want that, or do you want people stepping up and actually making smarter choices like our very first caller said?
Well, let me tell you, smarter choices mean that the president wants to talk about 4,000 kids not getting their vaccine in Georgia. But since 2008, 8 million people have lost their jobs, Elise. The president can talk about making choices, but he's making the wrong choices. He's being misleading.
How do you think we should get 8 million people employed? I would love to get 8 million people employed. I talk about it on my show on Sundays. How do you want to do
it? Because the president, to use his words, has his boot on the neck of the economy. The economy is not getting off the ground because the government is making bad choices. The government is making bad investments, and the government is taxing too much. And it's all of these things, Elise. And
I would say the government made bad choices under George Bush for 8 years, and that's why we had a Great Recession, which, by the way, started a long time before President Obama ever became President Obama. There's lots of blame to go around. The question really is, what do you do now? Because if you put these cuts in place, another million or 2 million people are going to lose their jobs, and that's really something. 45 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB. It's 54 minutes past the hour on the Eric Erickson Show. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Eric on Atlanta's Evening News, talking about sequestration and what's going to happen on Friday. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Harry joins us on the line from Covington. Hey, Harry.
Hey, Elise, how are you?
I'm good. So what do you think?
Well, thank you for taking my call. First of all, I've got to tell you, I've lost a little faith in you just in the last few minutes, but a couple of things I want to point out. The gentleman that called earlier that blamed this on right-wing Tea Partiers, he needs to get his facts straight. Sequestration was introduced by the Democrats, promoted and pushed through by Obama. Okay?
Okay.
And if I'm wrong on anything, please interrupt me and make a correction.
It's all right. Everybody else has got plenty of corrections. You know, we're going to take all of their calls, okay, so everybody can just correct each other.
Sure. It seems to me 2 months ago we were facing the so-called fiscal cliff. Now, Obama's idea of solving problems is raising our taxes, and, of course, the conservatives' idea is to cut spending. 2 months ago, did the conservative party, the Republicans, not cave in and agree to tax increases on those over $400,000 a year to avoid the fiscal cliff? And in exchange, Obama promised to negotiate as we approach sequestration. Now the tables have turned. They made their concessions on tax increases, but now Obama is still refusing to do tax cuts, spending cuts, but he's still demanding more tax increases. And it seems to me that this president is the picture poster child of what's wrong with this country, and that is nobody takes personal accountability or responsibility. This man makes promises and then lies his way out of them. He has placed blame on everybody, on everything but himself. And the reason I said that I lost a little faith in you is just before your break, you brought up the Bush card again. This man has spent 4 years instead of trying to solve the problems of this country, and here we are facing sequestration, which I don't think it's going to be as bad as it's being made to be.
I hope not. I'm going to jump in and just say that, you know, I walk a very fine line on Sundays, because what we talk about is the economy. We talk about what it takes to actually get people working. And sometimes there's just this, I don't know, you know, the world didn't just start on the day that President Obama walked into office. And George Bush did a lot of good things, and George Bush did some stuff that just didn't work out that great. And unfortunately, some of that included getting everybody into a place where the budget just went bananas. The deficit went bananas. And then we just didn't get the tax revenue that we should have gotten because we went into a Great Recession. It just comes back to that. It doesn't mean I'm a Democrat. It doesn't mean I'm a Republican. It just means that something happened before President Obama walked into office. 57 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink, filling in for Eric Erickson on Atlanta's Evening News on News Talk WSB.
Three,
Eric Erickson Show. I'm Elise Blank, filling in for Eric tonight. And Atlanta's Evening News, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. Hey, check out my website. It's thinkglink.com. If you don't know me, I fill in. Well, I don't fill in. I have my own show on Sunday mornings at 11 here on News Talk WSB. And we would love to have you join us as we parse through the economy and what the coming out of the Great Recession means to you. Today we've been talking about sequestration, which is supposed to be happening on Friday. $85 billion of budget cuts that are going to be happening. Whether or not this is going to be the end of the world, as it may seem if you're listening to this program, what I'd like to say is that I think we all can get on the other side of this, enough pointing fingers, and just say, what are some things that could be done? Because maybe the problem is that all of our elected officials, red, blue, purple, yellow, white, green, whatever, maybe they just don't have enough good ideas. I've often thought, as I've listened to everybody from the president to Boehner to everybody else down the line, on Fox and on CNBC and on MSNBC, that there just seems to be a lot of rehashing of the same ideas over and over again, and that you're not really getting enough good ideas from people in the trenches. This is how business works, right? If you talk to people who are in business, who every day are running a business successfully, they're going to give you better ideas on how to fix your business than high-paid consultants who don't do that, who make their money by going in at a very high level and talking to CEOs about what they think the CEO wants to hear. And not all consultants act like that, but a lot of them do. And meanwhile, down in the trenches, mom-and-pop shops can't take advantage of that information, whether it's good or not, because it doesn't really apply. So what if we kind of pull together and try and figure out a way to make this apply? And I want to start out by saying, first of all, that $85 billion isn't even nearly enough to get us where we need to go in this place. And I've said all along on my show and on the show today, I think we need to cut, and I think we need to bring in more revenue. But I'm a business person. I have a business. I employ 10 people. If I don't bring in enough revenue, they're not getting their paychecks every other week. And, you know, they like paychecks. It's amazing how people get addicted to their paychecks. So, 404-872-0750. Reed joins us on the line. Reed, what do you think?
Well, Elise, thanks, first of all, for taking my call. You know, to me, this whole thing with the sky is falling attitude, I mean, it's a laugher. I mean, we're in the process of sending $50 billion in relief to the victims of Sandy. And, yeah, this is just a shade more than that. And you're telling me that $85 billion is enough to, that our government and our economy and all is so unstable and weak that that minuscule amount of $3-plus trillion is enough to topple the horse? I just don't buy it. And, you know, to me, I hate it that all these federal workers are going to be furloughed, but, you know, they haven't been living in the real world like the private sector has for the last 4 years, and all of us have experienced what they're going to experience. And I think government is, you know, if that's the case, then our government is first of all, way too involved in our day-to-day life, and second of all, it's too big for its own good.
Okay, so your suggestion is that we cut more federal workers. We just cut more people. They get out of their job. That's your suggestion going on to government. Fair enough. It is 13 minutes past the hour, talking about sequestration and what we can do to make changes. My contention this hour, government, all sides, just need some better ideas. And who better than the folks in Atlanta to come up with some good ideas? 404-872-0750. Jason joins us on the line. Jason, what are your ideas?
I'm getting really sick with the House Republicans championing for the rich without giving me any proof that the rich are what are holding up the economy. Where's the proof that these alleged job creators can't take the tax increase? Where's the proof that the deficit, for example, is this looming huge problem that we have to tackle, or we're going to spiral into oblivion? I'm not buying the fear-mongering on the House's side.
So your suggestion is you're all for raising revenue. That's what
unless you can prove to me that raising revenue is a bad thing, absolutely raise revenue.
Well, I would actually try to prove that to you, but I've already been told my math skills aren't so great. So we're going to leave the addition and subtraction to other people, but I thank you for your call. Chuck joins us on the line. Chuck, what's your suggestion?
Yeah, I guess my primary deal, I'm a business person, been in business for years, and I think there is a tremendous amount of inefficiency and waste in government that's not even being addressed.
Give me a specific example that we can send to Washington.
TSA. You mentioned TSA. We're going to wait in line. I've been through a number of airports before where there are TSA people standing around doing nothing.
I know. Why aren't they opening up new lines so I can go through faster?
Have you experienced that? Have you seen every TSA person being as efficient as they can and being effective? I would say no. What about the hundreds of thousands of dollars that came up earlier this year in waste in the trips to Las Vegas? There's huge waste in the federal government.
Wasn't that embarrassing?
Person,
that was just stupid.
Yeah. If I were a business person, I would probably lose my job. So I think there's huge efficiencies and waste that before you ask me to give one more dime in revenue, you need to prove to me that you're managing what you already have. And some of that came up in the presidential election. There were talks on that, but it just seems to go by the wayside.
Oops, I'm losing you, but I'm getting that your idea is fewer trips to Las Vegas and other places on the government dime. I think that nobody is going to disagree with you there, Chuck. Thank you. Steve from Grant Park, what's your suggestion?
A couple of things. Number one is my understanding is that there's approximately $25 to $30 trillion of cash that's been taken out of the economy. I don't know if this is from American rich people or worldwide rich people. I read this either in the New York Times, and I just don't recall where I read this. My other comment is that this country's government, as well as other governments, own millions and millions of acres of property, including military bases in this country, that sell some land, pay off the debt.
So you want to sell some land. So in Chicago, my hometown, one of the things that the government has done is they keep selling assets. And they sell assets so they can book the revenue now. And then, you know, they've given away huge, huge assets for a one-time payment. So I'm a little concerned about that. They've done it with being able to ticket people, cars for parking. So they sold the parking for like $1 billion. They sold the Skyway. They sold another airport that then just got taken back. So I'm a little concerned about the idea that we're going to sell off non-renewable, one-time-only assets in order to sort of bring down the deficit, because we'll never be able to do that again. But it's still an idea, and I think there's probably some redundancy there, and we should look into it as well. It's 18 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink, filling in for Eric Erickson on Atlanta's Evening News. We're going to take more of your calls at 404-872-0750. What's your idea for fixing the problems in Washington? 404-872-0750 on News Talk WSB. It's 24 minutes past the hour on Atlanta's Evening News. This is Elise Glink sitting in for Eric Erickson. You can hear me on Sundays at 11 o'clock here on News Talk WSB, online all the time. Follow me on Twitter. We are having a lively conversation online, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. The website, thinkglink.com. And if you want to see what else we're doing in the ThinkLink community and get some great information that'll help you boost up your finances, sign up for the free weekly newsletter, 404-872-0750. So this hour, we're talking about specific suggestions that we can send to Washington to do better, spend less, raise more revenue, anywhere that you want to play in this world. I will talk about what what Christina gave me, our fabulous producer. The Committee on the Budget on the Republican website, the GAO, found more than $400 billion spent in 1,500 duplicative, fragmented, inefficient programs. Geez, just start there, right? $400 billion, $85 billion a month, and you're doing pretty great. 5 months' worth of cuts saved right there. 25 minutes past the hour. We want to know what you're thinking. Russ joins us on the line from Gainesville. Russ, what's on your mind?
Well, I guess first thing is we've known about this sequester for 16 months. That's over almost a year and a half. So why this thing is a surprise to anybody now is just amazing to me. But I'm going to blow right past that and get into an idea on how to help fix this thing.
Let's hear it.
You have a small business. I have a small business. Instead of someone sitting at home receiving an entitlement, send their paycheck to me. I will put them to work. We will make stuff. We will build stuff. We will then turn around and sell stuff. At the same time, we'll take the corporate income tax rate and we'll drop it down to 25% or even lower. that will encourage people to start businesses so we can get more people working out here. When these people are working and they start getting their wages, or if they decide they don't like working for me, they can leave the entitlement program, find a job on their own, and start in, you know, contributing to our tax base, in which case we have more revenues for Uncle Sam.
Which
Uncle
is... Sam is So let me just see if I understand this idea, because I think it's kind of cool. You're willing to take the money that they're paying people for unemployment and put them to work, whatever that is, make stuff and sell stuff. Like, gee, it's an economy.
Well, exactly, yes. The first thing I would do is I would teach these people how to clean, and we would step out and take these foreclosed houses that have been sitting idle for 2 years and are falling apart. We would rehab them, put them back on the market, and generate some affordable housing.
Which would actually be a very big help, that's for sure. Good idea, Russ. Let's send that one to Washington. 404-872-0750. Alan joins us on the line from Athens. Alan, what's your idea for getting this budget cut fixed?
Well, I've got an idea, and I've also got an observation. Idea first, and I'm sure I'm going to be hated for this, but end refundable tax credits, period.
Okay.
We didn't have them until 1976, till Jimmy Carter came around. That is where your negative effective tax rates are coming from. I'm a tax accountant. I see all ends of the spectrum. People with negative 20% effective tax rates that made $40,000, $50,000 a year and received earned income credit, child tax credit, so on and so forth, that allow to receive far more than they paid in, as well as what they paid into the system back.
Okay, so you don't want to have, as an accountant, you've seen people who are abusing the system, and you want to end that abuse, which I'm all for ending waste and abuse. Don't get me wrong. I think that it's like a scam. I hate that. But you will admit that there are some people who will have problems if you do that. So, good idea. Let's eliminate waste and abuse. 28 minutes past the hour on the Eric Erickson Show. Atlanta's Evening News. I'm Elise Klink sitting in. We'll come back and get some more ideas next on News Talk WSB.
More traffic reports than any other radio station. Late afternoons, mornings, throughout the day, in your car. Depend on News Talk WSB every day.
It's 6:37 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink, in for Eric Erickson on Atlanta's Evening News. Thanks for joining me today. 404-872-0750 is our number. We're talking about sequestration. It's supposed to hit on Friday. Of course, there could always be a last-minute deal. Meanwhile, this hour, we are not pointing fingers, but instead trying to come up with some better, more constructive things that the government might consider. I have tweeted out, you can follow me online, at Glink on Twitter, at G-L-I-N-K. I've tweeted out a GAO study that found $400 billion in just duplicative stuff that we could eliminate and save a whole bunch of money. That would be a good start. And certainly a lot more than the $85 billion in cuts we're going to be seeing. But what are your ideas? That's what we want to hear right now. Nick joins us on the line from Marietta. Nick, what are you thinking?
Hey, I want to examine this. Let's look at the situation. I especially got outraged by a call, I think it was Jason, about a half hour ago. The argument must be that if you sit there and can't take a penny and a half, then that means that the government must be running so efficient that that 1.5 cents is going to make a difference. I don't think there's anybody that can make that case. I challenge anybody. Nobody can make that case.
So you're saying the government's not efficient enough, and we could find more efficiencies. That's your idea.
I've never heard one report to ever say that they're anywhere near the efficiency of a private business. And if a private business can shed a penny and a half, surely the government can too. Okay, but here is and he asked for examples. The examples, it's not our fault that people are ignorant out there. These examples are right in front of us. Canada and the United States, if you take a little bit of time and do a little bit of research on the two countries, you'll see one being run one way, one being run the other way. I would say that Canada's financial health is much superior to ours. The example is also within the
United
States.
Well, they have a lot fewer people and a lot more oil. I'm just going to throw that out there.
But the other example is right there for people, too. But look at the cases of Texas and California. You've got that example right there. If people are... you're not going to take the time to find out what works and what doesn't, then that's nobody's fault. But don't please vote for a guy in a party that doesn't want to fix it.
So what's your idea? What's your suggestion?
Let's start with, let's just take all federal workers. They're all in the Department of Labor groups them into, in other words, if you're in supply and you're in supply in the private business, those can be linked together. Let's bring that pay equal. That's all I'm saying. Let's
so you think that equal. we will have huge savings just by making pay equal across the board?
We will do 2 to 3 times the savings easily.
So do you think that every job is worth the same amount of money? That sounds a little strange.
No. In classification, for example, the secretary to a person in a cabinet or a department, she's being paid on average of 20 to 40% more. If you take all the hundreds of thousands of jobs in the federal government, that's easily the savings right there alone.
So the so let me just understand. I just want to understand. So you're saying that a secretary to a cabinet level minister does the same job as a secretary to somebody else, and secretaries are I'm just asking. Secretaries are secretaries?
I know what you're saying. Either one might have more responsibility.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking so that I understand because
there should be maybe just a couple percentage difference between based upon maybe a person's expertise or educational level, but as a whole.
Or how long they've been in the job?
Yeah, those type of things. But this outrageous pay differential can easily take up the shortfall right now.
Okay, so that's your suggestion, that there's a pay differential and that people doing the same jobs or similar jobs should be paid the same amount no matter how long they've been there, or maybe there should be some little differentiation for that. But overall, there's 20 to 40% savings. That's sort of interesting. I don't actually know if that's true or not. It would be interesting to suggest it. In the beginning, I thought we were going down sort of a different path altogether where all government jobs were the same. I do want to address something that came across on Twitter where somebody said, what do we even need the government for? And I just want to throw out there, I don't know any businesses that are going to go build roads unless you're going to pay them for those roads. So things like roads, bridges, schools, I keep going back to these three basic things. We definitely need somebody to build those. Usually it's the government. It's 42 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Eric Erickson on Atlanta's Evening News, 404-872-0750. We're trying to come up with some really good ideas because you know what? The government just doesn't seem to have enough of them on all sides. Doesn't matter what color you are, black, white, red, yellow, green. I think you need some new ideas. So I have asked everybody to give us one really solid idea that we can send to Washington today. Let's send a message to our government. We want them to stand up and act like grown-ups for a change. 404-872-0750. Daniel from Clarksville, what's your idea?
Well, I was just going to say that I think the reason we're in the situation that we're in is because these people in Washington, from the president on down, they're scared to death to go on record as voting for a specific budget cut because they're afraid that may be something somebody could hold over their head in the future.
Sure. Read my lips. No new taxes. It came back to haunt him. You bet.
Exactly. And the solution, I guess, to that problem is not so simple. Because, I mean, everybody says the right things when they want to be put into office. It's just what they do after they get there is where the proof is. But so I don't know. I don't really know what the solution is to that. I mean, other than vote for good folks. And then once they've been there for X number of years, say, see you later. Thanks for your service. But
well, maybe if nobody could ever get reelected, they would all do the right thing the first time, like the stuff that they run on. Maybe.
I like that idea. I think
all
that's
right.
Great.
You know what? I'm going to put that in as your idea. So we're only going to let people have one term, no matter what that term is. So do the right thing and actually live up to the things you say when you're running for office. It's a novel idea. I think we may be able to try it. All right. 44 minutes past the hour. Follow me online at Glink, at GLINK on Twitter. Lots of conversations going on there. And that's where I go when we take a short break. 404-872-0750. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Eric Erickson Show. I'm Elise Link, sitting in for Eric tonight, Atlanta's Evening News, here on News Talk WSB. It's 6:53 on Atlanta's Evening News. I'm Elise Link, sitting in for Eric Erickson tonight, having a lively conversation on Twitter during our breaks. You can join us online at Glink, at GLINK, or if you just use the hashtag sequestration, you will see all of the comments pop up. Would love to have you follow us. You should also go to my website, Think. Techlink.com. We have 14,000 pages, I'm told, of free information. I lost count years ago, guys. I've been writing my syndicated column for 20 years next month. No longer can count all of the pages up on thinklink.com, but they're there for you. So go there and find great information on your personal finances, real estate, and don't forget to tune in on Sunday at 11. Join me here on News Talk WSB for a conversation around the economy and real estate and rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Ron joins us on the line from Buford. Hey, Ron, what's your idea for fixing the deficit?
Good evening, Elise. I think we need to have more user pay systems. And that is, for instance, bridges. People that use bridges all the time, put tolls on those bridges and let people start paying for those. Our national parks. $20 entrance to Yosemite, it's overcrowded, the resources are deteriorating, the environment's being affected. You know, Disney World, the same family would pay $400 for a day at Disney World, charge $50 to $100 for Yosemite.
How do you feel about a gas tax?
People use
gas. Ronald Reagan raised the gas tax. What do you think?
Well, we have gas right now. I'm not sure that if you did tolls and limit those tolls, privatize those, set the bridge up with a company where it's a private bridge where the company is responsible for maintaining it, also with government inspection, mutual government inspection and the company's inspection, like that's a better way to go because you know right where that money's going rather than have it spread out and maybe that gas tax isn't going to the right places.
All right. I appreciate your comment. Thanks so much. Panner joins us on the line from Atlanta. Panner, what's your idea?
Well, we have a lot of options. We have more natural gas than most of the world put together. We have oil reserves, just tons of different things. I mean, as far as the tax code goes, you could drop it down to a sales tax compared to taxing everybody's income. That way it's based upon how much you consume. And
so like a VAT tax, like European VAT tax.
I prefer the fair tax myself. I'm a big fan of the fair tax.
I understand, but when you say a sales tax, I just naturally think of a fair tax, which is not exactly what a fair tax. I mean, I think VAT, right?
Yeah, but the fair tax allows you to get your money before you actually have to give it to the government. So I'm much more of a fan of that, and not having it come out of the out of your check each week, because it's surprising how many people don't notice the taxes that go in and out of their.
Please, it's surprising that people don't listen. It's surprising that people don't even know what's in their paycheck. I mean, please, they don't know where anything goes. That's why in the financial world, we recommend that you just sort of take money out of your paycheck and stick it into your retirement before you even know it's there. Because if it's in your pocket, you're definitely going to spend it. 404-872-0750. We got time for a couple more. Doug from Johns Creek, what's your idea for fixing the deficit?
Hi, this is Doug. Thanks for taking my call. I have a recommendation from where I work. I've been in manufacturing for 25 years.
We just have 15 seconds, Doug. Go for it.
Yeah, so my recommendation is we implement lean manufacturing techniques. And basically what that does is allow companies and the government to improve their processes.
All right, so by improving the process, you're going to save money. 57 minutes past the hour. This has been an amazing show, guys. Follow me on Twitter. We'll continue the conversation there for a little while. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I'm Elise Glink. Join me Sunday at 11. And in the meantime, have a great night, everybody.